The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and the Window Workshop. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 333 of the 9 Years podcast, which is, I guess, half as evil as it could be. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you very much for downloading the show this week. We are going to be talking about our last few games and the games coming up over the Christmas period. We have a win at Crawley to discuss, a defeat at home to Sutton to discuss, games with Colchester and Forest Green to look forward to. We're thinking a little bit ahead to the January transfer window. And of course, Aaron's Supermatch game will be making its return. But before we get into any of that, Stu, it's been a while. I don't think we even managed to talk about the fantastic 4-0 win over Swindon from a few weeks back, if I remember correctly. I don't recall having this conversation with you. I thought at the time that was the best we'd played in years. It transpires since then that Swindon are a little bit rubbish. But that doesn't take away from our performance on that particular afternoon.
Yeah, do you know what is interesting about Swindon? It's got me thinking, also, we're going to discuss the transfer window opening up in a little while. You know, our Christmas present to us all. We'll hopefully get loads of Christmas presents from Craco. No pressure. But do you know what got me thinking about that Swindon? So we had a Swindon journalist on our live show on Tom's TV. And we were talking about, I didn't realise, they've always had lots of loans, haven't they? Mm-hmm. Swindon tend to do a lot of loans. And I didn't realise, but both their forwards, Young and Kemp, are on loan League Two clubs, which again is ridiculous.
Yeah, the Kemp thing is mad, but yeah.
So yeah, it was an interesting one, because let's be fair, you know, they had two of the best in terms of goal output in the league, and we kept a clean sheet, which, you know, again shows you how good we were in that game.
Did you want to say the new phrase with all this new language that goes around football these days? Did you mean say goal involvements as opposed to goal output?
Goal output. Yeah, outputs. Yeah, do you know what, the goal involvements has come in, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I was listening to a competitor podcast would be the Alan Shearer, Gary Lineker and Michael Richards.
Yeah, we're big rivals with them. We're fighting for listeners all the time.
So I thought I should plug in their show. But it was interesting because Alan Shearer was basically saying he still can't get the hang of expected goals.
No.
Like, how do you work it out? And immediately you come to my mind just thinking, yep, it would be exactly the same. These new stats, just keep it in old money.
Yeah, keep exactly that. Exactly that. So much nonsense spouted about the game. And I mean, funnily enough, that does bring us on to the Sutton United game in some respects. But just to say beforehand, yeah, just to finish off on that, 4-0 win over Swindon, absolutely fantastic. A win over a top half team. I think that was the first time we'd done it. We have done it again since, obviously, we've beaten Notts County, sorry. I do apologise. But now we've done it twice. No, no, three times, because we did beat Crawley as well. But yeah, I think we were all full steam ahead after that Sutton result, weren't we, in the midst of some big FA Cup wins as well?
Yeah. And, you know, funny story from that. Obviously, I was down the tunnel area after the game waiting for the interview. I think we had Al Hamady. Yeah, we did. We had Addy on there. And Harry Pell was hilarious, because normally the subs have to then do some after-match runs to get them. And Harry Pell was basically going, well, I don't see why I should have to, because I set up a goal. I come on and I changed the game. And it was hilarious. He was being flippant. He was, of course, he'd done his running.
Of course.
But the way he come on and tried to say it, because he set up a goal as a sub, that got him away from doing some running. But the spirit's good. You know, I took it from that, you know, Harry Pell has been a bit part player this season. Yet there seemed to be a very good, I know you say spirit, that's the sort of thing you always hear, but to keep subs happy when they're not getting game time,
yeah,
is challenging. And that was quite pleasing from that point of view, because none of the subs that I've seen have actually looked like they're going through the motions. It's a very competitive bench, which is obviously we're showing at the moment because of the amount of games that we've got coming up.
Makes a point about substitutes, because back in the day, Stu, when football was better, you only had three subs on the bench, right? But you still have fairly large squads, because you know what they do? They'd go off and play in the reserves. They go and play in the reserves in the week, and everyone was quite happy with this system, and it seemed to work. And I don't know what we just changed it for no reason, as far as I can tell. I always remember we won the Reserve League 1 year, didn't we? I think it was... Oh, God, I want to say Andy Pearce and Alan Reeves, maybe?
Possibly,
They were
yeah.
the
Mate.
centre half pairing that played together pretty much every game for the reserves that season and won the reserve league, but never. Alan Reeves was a first teamer, but then he lost his place and his form tailed off dramatically, actually, for some reason around him.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, you're right. You're right. I remember it used to be called, the Combination League, and I used to go down to Power Lane, 2 p.m. kickoff. Even when we went to Selhurst Park, we still used Power Lane, I think, for a season or so after. It might have been 2 seasons. Yeah, it's something. I think we discussed it before, haven't we? You know, like we're not in a reserve league. I'm not even too sure if there are many reserve leagues because it feels like everyone's playing. So Brentford do it differently. Brentford don't have an academy, but they play B team fixtures and they arrange friendlies. You know, arrange friendlies with non-league teams and academies from foreign clubs, which I quite like the idea of. But yeah, we don't tend to have a. I know we've had a few behind closed door games, but not regular. So you're right, your players like Harry Pell, James Ball, Nicholas Zanna, the only real action game time they're getting is Bit Park at the moment or in the Bristol Street Trophy competition. That's all they're getting.
That's not really the same thing, is it? So, anyway, that's not for us to worry about, Stu. That's for other people to worry about. We've got more important things to talk about, and that is, well, obviously, we had the win at Crawley on the
Ricky
Friday
Crawley.
night. I mean, yeah, we had that. We moved the game to the Friday night away from the Saturday 3 p.m. kickoff to give our players a little bit of extra recovery time, and that worked. That really worked very well, didn't it? Yeah, that was a. That really helped us. That extra day's rest we had, opposed to Sutton, who played on the Saturday anyway. But hey, nonetheless, 2-0 up at half time, and then a red card to Joe Lewis, two bookings, and then Crawley got a goal back. And we showed different elements that you need to have to be successful, didn't we? We showed a team that went out on the front foot, got in front, made life difficult, scored goals. And then we saw the flip side of that in the second half, where we saw a team that was dug in, were resilient, and got over the line.
Yeah, I think Crawley got a good home record. I think they've won like nine games. Well, I think they've won 10 now. So they won at Gillingham, who are going through a shocking time. But Crawley got a good record at home. And the first half, we made them look bang average, didn't we? In terms of that, could have been 3-0 up if Josh Davison had not stood in front of the goalkeeper on that side of it. And there were other chances. The sending off, I thought was a sending off. I didn't have any issues with it, I'm being honest with you. I know people said it's harsh. But the way the referee was booking everybody.
Yeah, we seem to have one.
And also, to be fair, look, if you look at Jake Reeves, and if you look at body language, which I always do, Jake Reeves was one that sold him short on that pass. And if you look at Jake Reeves after, Jake Reeves just walks the nose, doesn't even look back when he gets when. So I think sometimes players know, don't they? Do you know what I mean? But equally, I thought Crawley brought on good subs, put us under a lot of pressure. And we stood up to it. And I agree with you. You know, them sometimes games like that. I know we've obviously lost the next game against Sutton, which totally defeats my argument. But sometimes it can be making of teams when they dig in and stuff like that. So it was a really good points. And it will prove you good points. You know, Sutton is a blip, hopefully. But yeah, it was always good to be called on a Friday night. And they didn't like it too much, did they? Bless them.
No, we don't really like Crawley though, do we? And let's be honest, there are some teams in League Two that could go back into non-league and we wouldn't miss them, and they would be one of them. So anyway, apologies to any Crawley fans listening, but if you are any Crawley fans listening, why are you listening, weirdos? Then we get on to Sutton then. So we lost 1-0. We know about this. We know substitute centre half Omar Suomni scored the winning goal about midway through the second half. We will talk about that goal. Yes, in a moment. But Stu, I put on Twitter after it, in a perverse way, I actually enjoyed the game on Boxing Day. I know we lost second year in a row that we've not turned up at home to Sutton. They've come away with a 1-0 win without really having to do too much, to be honest with you. We were very poor. But I like to a couple of reasons. One, hey, in fairness, I like Jason Goodliffe. I got a lot of time for Jason Goodliffe. So I was pleased for him because I thought, you know what, he's come in at a really difficult position. And he's obviously got a team that's worked for him. They've played for him. And you can see his impact straight away. And I thought he was very clever during the game as well with his substitutions, which at times I thought looked a bit odd. But actually, I think he timed them correctly and freshened up the team at the right times. And Hey, look, fair play to him. He must have been probably like beaming on Saturday night with that. The other reason was, though, hey, look, we have been in good form over the past couple of months. We had big wins in two big wins in the FA Cup. We had a big win over Swindon, as we've mentioned, wins over Doncaster, over Notts County. It's been all good, the Crawley game. It's been all good. But the home games, especially, so Doncaster, Notts County, Ramsgate, Cheltenham, they kind of pissed me off a little bit, okay? Because I saw teams that were trying to overcomplicate things. And you're playing against us, and we have a massive high press. And against Doncaster, we showed we put pressure on high up pitch. We're going to force you into mistakes. We're going to score goals. Saw the same against Notts County. Even sodding Ramsgate thought they could build from the back and pass it out from the back, and that caused them all sorts of problems. And I kind of thought, do you know what? Let's actually now have a team that realizes they can't do that against us and presents a different challenge to us. And that's exactly what Sutton did. And we'll be better for it now because we will know that there are going to be times now teams are going to come to us. They're not going to try and play out from the back. They're not going to try and overcomplicate things. They're going to be direct. They're going to fight for second balls and they're going to play off set pieces. And we've got to find a way to actually be able to attack teams that don't really take the game to us, don't give us the opportunity to play on the break and play in behind. So we're going to have to come up with a way of defeating that now. And Sutton have showed us or given us maybe a template for what other teams will do, and we can start to think about how to counteract that. So I thought I think it's a not a bad thing for us at all to have lost that game for that reason. But also, yeah, I actually enjoyed just watching something, especially when you said earlier about all these new phrases like expected goals and goal involvements and stuff like that. Sometimes it's nice to remember that football can be a simple game of 4-4-2. Do your basics. Don't make mistakes. Don't worry about all your data and your statistics and all your tactical nuances and stuff like that. Just do the basics and work hard, and that can sometimes be enough.
The thing is, I don't think we're going to come up many Sutton come up against many teams that play Sutton's way. And I don't think some teams are going to even adapt to that because I don't, you know, what does Sutton do? Play the 4-4-2, put two big men up against our centre halves, which we don't really have that problem. I'm trying to think in a league who really plays two forwards and who plays two big lumps.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so they play Smith and they played Angle. So I thought Jason Goodliffe was interesting. He brought players back that hadn't been available. So Goodliffe got a half. That probably wasn't a difficult conversation. Can you play and help me out, mate?
Yeah.
Or
Yes.
son. And Swanley. So obviously he can only get. And he was very. I watched his interview after the game, and he was very respectful
Yeah, I'd expect no
against us,
less. Yeah.
which was it's classy because you could go there. But you know, it was very classy with that. He said he could only get half a game out of both his centre halves.
There
They hadn't been available for God knows how long. So he's obviously brought them back. They might not have been fit. It could have been a risk if they got injured because
you
they're big players for them. But I think what they stopped us doing, they stopped us playing out from the back. Obviously there was no point us going high tempo against them because they didn't play the ball. They got the ball back to front very quickly, didn't they? Won their set pieces. I think the disappointment for me was is that we didn't react to that. You know, we could all see at half time that we, you know, when we don't win or we don't play well, it normally means that Little and Reeves in midfield are not getting the ball. If they don't have a good game, they're pivotal really for us in that way. And I felt probably we probably need to bring, I was saying at half time, probably need to bring Ball and Powell on here, not to replace them like for like, but just to get some height because we just weren't winning any scraps. So I think my disappointment was that we didn't probably react quick enough. Obviously, John Jackson wasn't on the bench because he got his marching orders up at Crawley. Does that make an impact? It's difficult to know, isn't it? You know, you can. There's loads of things you can say. Did we lose because Johnny Jackson wasn't on the touchline? Unlikely, but is it as easy to make changes when? So there's a few things that disappointed me. But you know, if you look at the goal is exactly a Sutton goal, and I mean that with all much respect. But I think before that, Omar was on anything like that. Omar was screening every time on Harry Smith's toes. For some reason, I think you clocked it, but for some reason he wasn't. I know he was getting a little bit of grief from the referee. I think the referee was literally saying to him, "You're totalling up fouls at the moment. You're going to get a booking very soon." Because Omar is one of those you just have some niggly fouls, didn't he, for all game?
Oh, yes.
So I think there was a conversation, and then for some reason I didn't screen the ball, and that's why it looks rubbish because the ball bounces because there's no screen. And then it looks a terrible goal, doesn't it? But we didn't react. If you know, Ali had a quiet game. I can't really think of any. You know, you ain't got to look at both our wingers got taken off because we couldn't get the ball out wide. So Sutton played a very good game against us. Nothing really to surprise us. But I was probably a bit disappointed of how we reacted with making changes. That would be my frustration.
Yeah, two things I want to pick up on. I'll come back to the goal in a second. So, yeah, again, because in the pro... So, well, first quick question. Johnny Jackson, what is the deal with being suspended off the touchline? Is he, like, can we... I'm assuming he communicates with the dugout during the game from wherever he is. He's obviously in the dressing room, I assume, at half-time and pre-game.
I'm not sure. I wasn't around there this time. I know he was sitting up with the iFollow cameras. He was on the third floor.
Okay.
He was up there, and I think he was communicating with TV, Rob TV via... I know he had his ear, what are you called, earbuds things in. Yeah. Whether he can go into the dress room and have the conversation, I don't really know, to be honest with you.
No.
I didn't ask. I know he was up there. Let's be fair, right? If you want to sneak into the change rooms, it's not that difficult. You know, was there a referee outside the change room going, John, you can't come in? So
yeah, exactly,
I would assume, you know,
checking every laundry
was
basket.
Was he Hayden for the day?
Oh, like, that was a great shout. Oh my word, how has no one ever thought of this before? That would be so good.
I think Jose Mourinho apparently did. I think he was banned.
Yeah, he did the laundry basket thing, yeah, in Europe.
Yeah, but they also talked about whether doing a mascot as well. Oh, that was geez. A different way of doing it. So my thing is, I don't think you can stop. I don't think you can stop if you don't want to. So I imagine he would have been in the change rooms. But you know what? I know, yeah, look, we've got Steve Evans and Rayner at Stevenage, notorious for touchline. What's the word? Effectively using the touchline.
Antics.
Yeah, that's the word. I think there was something in that. I'm not saying we lost because of that, but is it easy... You know, he would have had a better, you know, we've sat up there, haven't we? And you get a great view tactically.
Yes, of course.
But, you know, communication-wise. I'm not saying we lost because of that, but it's just a throw-in as well.
Yeah. I mean, in the programme, it was pointed out, I think Ray Arnfield on Twitter pointed this one out, about programme notes and how Johnny had said in his programme notes, how we're adapting to face different challenges that other teams face. But I must say, like, I think, and I have the point, if we've got a weakness this season, I think it is that. I think we can adjust tactics and change how we go about things. We saw that we changed the way we started with the lineup against Crawley, for example, and Notts County. We've seen we can do it, but then during a game, not so much. I think we haven't. I can't think of times where during a game we've really changed things that have switched a game in our favour.
No, not noticeably. It's a difficult one, though, isn't it? Because I think the key thing is, and I know you're not, I think the key thing is not to get too hyped up about a defeat against the team that's bottom.
No.
You know,
we're used to this. This is what we do.
Yeah, and Sutton is a local derby. Hey, look, do you know what? I watched Sutton. I watched the Sutton Mansfield game a couple of days before, and Sutton were terrible.
Yeah,
like terrible. So, I think, you know, the local derby games are up for it. They had a big away following, and that sometimes can, you know, it's a local derby. Yeah, sometimes they can just throw up random results on that. But I think the key, you know, if you go back to like Swindon and Notts County, both those teams changed their formation during the game to combat us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think our form, I think the way we play is the right way to play. Sutton, you won't, I'm trying to think of any other teams that play very Sutton-like. Harrogate, potentially, Newport, who maybe go back to front quickly.
Yeah.
But you're right what you're saying. Most teams want to play this beautiful, beautiful free-flowing football. And that's perfect for us because we can press high and we get a lot of joy. You know, We just got done by not adapting to how Sutton play, which, hey, look, it's frustrating, but I know we're going to probably preview Colchester, but Colchester play very much a passing game. So actually, we probably will play better.
Yeah.
Touch wood. You know, we're not going to face many Suttons this year. Well, no. not again.
No, not again, thankfully. And maybe never again. We shall see. They're still in a lot of trouble down at the bottom there. I want to make a point, though, coming back to the goal, because you talked about Omar screening Smith, which he did for every long throw. There was Pierce behind and Omar would step in front and try and squeeze him out. Now, here's my actual moment, because, yeah, as I say, I'm not, the defeat doesn't bother me. Hey, look, sure, I can't get annoyed or angry with anything, because this is the first season, however many seasons, where we're not worrying about relegation. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We're not at all. Okay. All right. So I know some people are talking about we wanting to be in the top seven and whatever. Again, no expectations of that. We're fine. All right. There's nothing to get angry about this season. It's all good. But the one thing I will highlight is, yeah, the goal. And I think you're right. So Omar was screening, but for the goal, he loses his train of thought and he goes to track their runner. One of their players makes a near post run, and Omar goes for some reason, even though Jack Curry is the one that's marking him, and Jack goes as well. And I think that's because Omar did lose concentration because he was getting himself involved with he's becoming this season's Harry Pell for getting involved in things that doesn't need to get involved in.
And
So he,
Sutton fans are on his case.
well, because Sutton fans, and I've listened to a couple of Sutton fans post the game as well, and they have referenced the fact that, you know, they know what he was like, obviously from their experience, and he is very much this player. He is the wind-up merchant of the team, and he does love a little bit of the niggles and the fun and games. He'd gone down after having a little word with Harry Smith. He went down in the box, clutching his ribs and everything, and the ref was just like not having any of it, and
That's right. That's
it was
right.
a little bit embarrassing, for all involved. And I think maybe he just his head in that moment wasn't in it, and I think his head wasn't in it at all, to be honest with you. And I think on days like Boxing Day, when Omar's in that sort of mood, he got booked, he was persistent fouling. When he doesn't have a he's very good in the air when he gets a run on a centre half and he can win those flick-ons. But if you can't get a run on, he doesn't even attempt it. He just tries to nudge or foul, gives away free kicks. So frustrating. When he's in one of those moods, there's no point in being there, to be honest with you. I'm not being hard. I'm just when he's in one of those moods,
No, I give you that,
like I'm not sure what he's bringing us when he's in those sorts of moods. And again, he got sent off against Doncaster as well, wasn't he, for being silly, and being niggly and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that's just one thing. That's one thing I say. Harry Pell got a lot of stick last season for his antics and stuff like that, and I think it's only fair we sort of say, look, if we've got someone here, we don't want another Pell on our hands. And when he has days like that, you're kind of like, it's just super frustrating, super frustrating. Anyway,
Well, hey, the rumour is Harry Pell may get a lot more game time because we're hearing on the grapevine that Omar may potentially get a late call up for Lebanon in the Asian Cup.
well, how many players can we how many do we need three to get all our games called off for January? Because
I don't think there's an actual rule in that, is it? And also, when would you
well,
replay
yeah, we'd have to extend the season by a month. But Ali
the games?
and Omar both got gone potentially. I mean, we knew that just means we had to get a striker. We were already getting a striker in, weren't we, in January? But
Well, we were
probably need
already
two.
short. Let's be fair, we were already short. You know, we could argue that we couldn't change too much because we didn't have a. We're using Harry Pell as an Omar replacement. That feels more. Harry Pell's not a number 10 or something like that.
No.
But yeah, the grapevine is that it will be. Lebanon have just brought in a new manager who Omar got game. International call-ups under, and apparently rumour is that his manager wants to bring in some of his older guard for the Asian Cup. And why the hell are you having a cup competition in the middle of a season? Like, it's just you've got the African Nations Cup, you've got the Asian Cup. We had the World Cup last year, didn't we? In the middle of the season, it just feels like FIFA. Just do one, and also you don't get any compensation for losing.
Yeah,
And
I've
so,
heard
in the World
this.
Cup, we got compensation for Chris Gunter, didn't we? Apparently, and again, I've not looked into this heavily, but I think a few people have. We don't get any compensation for losing Ali for most of January, and if we now end up losing Omar for, well, one second, we're a League Two club. We've signed them for a season.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It does feel, you know, I think it's crazy, you know. But if it looks like Omar may go, I think the it may have been by the time this podcast comes out. I think the squads aren't being announced. He was in the provisional, so they named a 30-man
Okay.
squad or 33-man squad in November. You know, they have to name a provisional squad.
Yeah,
He
yeah,
was in that. He was in that provisional
yeah.
squad,
Okay. All right.
and I think they can take up to 26 players. And it's in Qatar, of course it is.
Of course it is. Don't get me started.
And it's one of those, isn't it? Because you know, you want any player that you have, you know, international recognition is great, and you want them to have that international recognition, but not at the expense of a month near enough. I think the last game they will play will be Forest Green Rovers. Ali is available for Forest Green Rovers, and then they go. But we lose them for international. We obviously lose them for
Ipswich.
important FA Cup game. I think Ipswich have got two players. I did have a nosy. Ipswich have lost two players to either the African Nations or the Asian Cup.
Do you know what? Yeah, because I've no, but I think one of them's refused to go. I think I just saw this. Morsi, is it Sam Morsi?
Morsi's the one that's down on the list to go. There was a tweet I saw. Has he refused to go?
I think he said he's unavailable. He's marked himself unavailable.
But can't there was, and I know we're going a little bit off topic, but wasn't there talk about Man United as a goalkeeper, Onana, as he was up for it?
Yeah.
Apparently, if he didn't go, then he would effectively be suspended because he should be on his national duty.
I see. Okay, fair enough.
But I don't know, unless Morsi retires from, I don't know, I'm not encouraging anyone to get around the rules.
Hi, Chris Hussey.
Yeah, you know, can we just go? And look, do you know what? Omar won't get a chance of playing an Asian Cup if he's successful in getting called up. So great for him.
Yeah,
it's shit for us. Like, let's be fair. That's our strike force.
Well, that is. Gone. Well, this is the thing. Is it's like as I say, like that the partnership works. This is the thing.
Yeah.
So you've got to find. I think Josh is a great replacement because he'll put in the same running and the same yards as Omar will.
But
neither Omar nor Josh are out and out prolific goal scorers. So once you take Ali out, you're in trouble.
But let's be fair, how can you replace Ali? Ali is just unique in terms of his skill set.
Yeah.
You know, and that's your problem. You can put Josh Davidson and play him as Ali, but he's not Ali, as we, you know, and that's why Ali is touted by many, many clubs because of he's got that ability to occupy two centre half, run the channels. You can't replace him. That's your problem. Let's just hope. Let's hope in a way Omar doesn't get a call up, but I'll be pleased for him if he does.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. But we'll watch this space, I suppose, in that regard. We were expecting, as we say, a striker to come in anyway in January. Do you think we need a Harry Smith type? Just that option of having that sort of player up front? Big, strong target man?
I'd like two in it, I mean, honestly. I think we're short in the forward line. I really do. I think we're short. Don't forget, Zach Robinson's out on loan to Dundee.
Mm, true.
Yeah. I know we forget he's our player, but, you know, I think we need two. I think we need a lump, someone, and also someone who can run in behind. We don't have that pace. I know we've used Josh Nerville alongside Ali. I don't mind that as much. I don't mind that. He's got pace, and you know, if you look at the goal he set up for Ali at Pompey, that's something that he can do. But he's not an out and out forward, and it's not an option that I think is going to get you through half a season if we're going to want to try and keep around the playoffs. I'm being honest with you, but I can probably see us dipping more into a loan market. I think the loan market is something you utilize more in January than you do in August because you know you keep it for the rest of the season. And let's be fair, we got some good ones last year with McAteer, didn't we? Who's now in the Leicester team.
Yeah.
And I think this is where we probably see Andy Thorne come into his own because he's got the contacts along with Craig Cope. So I'm probably expecting some decent loans. But I think that's probably where we go. I think that's probably where we go.
Yeah, I just want to make a point as well, just to sort of further illustrate my point about what I was saying about Omar earlier. Harry Smith, the son, is also there, absolutely is there. Master of the shithousery, but on Boxing Day he wasn't getting involved in that stuff and he was fully concentrated.
No,
and that's the difference, isn't it? That's the
He did one. I don't know if you saw it. He did one thing where he went to go and get the ball from behind the goal or on the side of the goal, and the fans gave him a grief, and he went to pretend to throw it.
Oh,
back
I see.
And do you know what? But you're right, because I thought Harry Smith is someone that you can wind up and has got himself set up.
Yes.
But actually, yeah, you're right. He didn't get involved in any of that. And actually, Sutton kept their discipline.
Yeah,
because we did try and rattle them, but in the end, we rattled ourselves.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
we're going
to
yes, let's move on because we are running rapidly out of time. So, Aaron's Supermatch game very very quickly. It's a nice, very simple, easy one. The last time AFC Wimbledon enjoyed a victory on Boxing Day was in 2018. With a much needed win over blank blank.
I just really played Pompey. So it's gonna be a blank blank Wickham Wanderers.
It's not a bad guess to be fair, because they'd have been local, but no, it was in League One and it was Plymouth Argyle.
Ah, that's a local derby, isn't it?
Well, no, but I mean, you have to feel sorry for Plymouth, don't you? In that league, especially when there was no one within hours of them in the division, the closest they could get on Boxing Day was us. But rather them come to us than we had to go to them, I suppose.
Saying that, I know Sky have got a derby on TV over the holiday period, Southampton versus Plymouth. massive local derby in that part of the world.
That part of the world is getting bigger and bigger, isn't it? I think.
Well, there's no one down that part of the world. That's your
Well,
problem.
maybe in one part of the world, one half of that pair there is, but not less so the other. But never mind. Talking about southern, I mean, Colchester are actually north of us, which just, but anyway,
Yes.
so confusing, isn't it? They visit, but they are south of us in the table at the moment. Very good, you see. They are currently 22nd, but they are 6 points above the relegation zone. They're 6 points above Sutton, who are in 21st, even though they have played a game more than Sutton. Last six, they have won one, lost five, and they have lost their last four away from home. These are not encouraging statistics. Matthew Ellington is in charge there after a little bit of a delay earlier in the season, trying to get him away from Crawley or whatever was going on there with his contract. John Akindi still plays for them at 86 years of age. And Cameron McGeehan, who is a player of immense quality, but I think
Yep.
injuries may have caused a little bit of a.
Ex Luton from memory, isn't it?
Very, very good when he was at Luton in League One, especially. But I think injuries have caused him a few problems. But yeah, I mean, Colchester at home, they'll probably come and try. I don't. They lost by they're losing by single goals the last few games. They won by a single goal against Salford, their one victory in the last six. Lost, as I say, they lost away at Milton Keynes the other day. What do you reckon? I reckon we should win this one as a reaction to Boxing Day, but I can see this being a draw, you know.
No disrespect to Colchester, but it's a bit of a damp squib, isn't it? In terms of,
Yeah, it's not a great game. No, it's not a great
do you know what I mean?
fixture.
I'm not saying that I want to play someone like Stockport or anything like that because that's a tougher game, but it's one of those. I think we'll win. I think we've done well. We've bounced back well from defeats, and I think Jack Curry come out and was really disappointed in terms. So I think there'll be a reaction. Yeah, Akinde, watch out for Joe Taylor. Who they picked up from non-league, 10 goals this season. Liked him when we played there early in the season. I liked him. Looks a real, real decent player. So I suppose we've got to be careful. But yeah, I think we should win. I think we should win. And yeah, like I say, you don't want to lose two on a spin. I think we've only done that when we got beat by Accrington and Morecambe. So that's not a bad stat. So I think we will bounce back. And I'm expecting a clean sheet. Probably, I'm going to go for a 4-0.
Jeez. Okay.
We
Nothing
scored
like.
goals. I got starved of them. We had no goals on Boxing Day.
We haven't. We've actually gone a game and a half without a goal at the moment. So, yeah, I'm sure that'll
Yes.
come to an end. I'm sure we will score. I think we will score on Friday. But anyway, elsewhere in the division, just very quickly, Salford versus Grimsby is a pitch fixture that screams out to me just because they are two clubs that at the moment are in a little bit of a muddle. And Salford have just parted company with their manager. So that'll be interesting down the bottom to see what happens, the fate of those two clubs. We, of course, then go to Forest Green away on New Year's Day. And again, we think we'd win that, but we struggled against them earlier in the season, of course. So again, we shall see.
Yeah. Hey, look. So it's not. There's obviously a few sackings at the moment. I can't. Neil Wood going from Salford is probably a little bit delayed. I know there are some people get giving Gary Neville a bit of grief saying he's got rid of another manager, but I think they stuck by him quite a bit. I think they've changed their style of football, gone from a possession-based team to a long ball team. But I think it's this part of the season where window's going to open soon. So, I think Colchester, the way they're going, they may have a third manager by the time they finish the season. Wouldn't surprise me. So not surprised. But yeah, I love it. The holiday season football. It's all good, isn't it?
There is a yes, it's football at this time of year, re-squeezing the game in before we then go into a couple of difficult weeks with Ipswich in the FA Cup, which, as we said, without one or maybe two players is going to be a little bit tricky, and then Wrexham away following that. But obviously, we'll talk
Let's not
about that
forget
another time.
Oxford visit Cherry Red Record Stadium for the Bristol Rovers, sorry, not the Bristol Rovers, the Bristol Street Trophy. It's the last 16 of the Southern Section, Nick. It's getting exciting.
Those are the words of Stuart Deakins. I will say nothing on this score. Very quickly, because we are really running out of time, Stu. Three, at this point of the season, your prediction for who will finish in top three in League Two?
Stockport, Barrow, and Wrexham.
Cool. Not Mansfield.
I don't think they've got enough. Mansfield are like they're always the also-rans, aren't they? They're like the ones who go to the wedding but never get married.
Well, thank you very much for joining me this week, Stu.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. But Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 equals 4. And as I say, we shall speak to you again next week. Happy New Year.